World Sport from the BBC. Hello, this is Richard Padula. Coming up, Australia take complete control of the fourth Ashes test at Headingley, and there's another impressive victory for South Africa in Rugby Union's Tri-Nations series. But first, some sad news from Spain. The captain of Espanyol, Dani Jarque, has died from a heart attack while on a pre-season training camp. He was just 26 years old. Jarque was found by teammates at their hotel near Florence when he failed to turn up for an evening meal, and Italian paramedics were unable to revive the player. The Catalan-based football reporter Paul Giblin has watched Jarque's career develop and says he'll be sorely missed.
Very good player. Very, very good player. Really strong central defender. Could play at right back, knocking on the door of the Spanish national team as well. It wouldn't have been a surprise to have been seen him given a chance in the run-up to the next World Cup.
And of course, only just named captain of Espanyol.
Exactly. I think that says a lot about it. He just replaced Raúl Tamudo, who's still at the club, but who's a massively emblematic player at Espanyol. He's a player who joined Espanyol, which is obviously the other team in the city of Barcelona, when he was 12 years old, so he spent his entire life with Espanyol, and it's just going to be a huge blow for everybody because, I say, he was a hugely popular player, massively respected, so someone who's come up through the ranks, and I'm absolutely staggered. It's the same sort of feeling I think we all had here 2 years ago when Antonio Puerta, the Sevilla player, unfortunately suffered a heart attack and died in the middle of a match in that case. It's very, very, very upsetting.
So what has been and what will be the reaction in Spain?
It's just straight away front page news everywhere because I think it is such a huge surprise and there'll be a massive, massive outpouring of sympathy. I don't think it'll be quite as hysterical as the Antonio Puerta death 2 years ago, because maybe they're a little bit more restrained up in the northeast in Catalonia. But obviously, I think everybody's going to be deeply affected. And of course, we've still got 3 weeks to go before the season. But it's going to be hugely sobering, I think, especially at the time when everyone in Spain is very positive and upbeat now because of the power of the Spanish league with all the Real Madrid signings.
The Barcelona-based football reporter Paul Giblin on the death of Dani Jarque. And tributes are coming in from all over Spain. The Barcelona president, Joan Laporta, says in a statement on the club's website, "We are filled with extreme dismay at this tragic event, which we deeply regret. Today, we are all in mourning." And perhaps not surprisingly, Espanyol, who had been due to play Bologna on Sunday, have suspended their pre-season tour of Italy and will fly back to Barcelona immediately. Elsewhere in Europe, it's the opening weekend of the new season in Germany's Bundesliga and the French First Division. Rounding up Saturday's highlights, here's the BBC's Nishat Ladder.
Bayern Munich, missing several key players through injury, including Franck Ribéry and Luca Toni, had to settle for a 1-1 draw at Hoffenheim. Felix Magath's first competitive match in charge of Schalke ended in a 2-1 victory at Nuremberg. Kevin Kurani with a goal either side of half-time. The champions Wolfsburg won 2-0 against Stuttgart on Friday. The first round of matches in the French First Division also got underway. Marseille won 2-0 at Grenoble. Olympique Lyon, who had won 7 titles in a row before finishing third last season, needed a last-minute goal by new signing Lisandro Lopez to salvage a 2-2 draw at Le Mans. The champions Bordeaux kick off their defence against Lens on Sunday.
The English Football League season is also now underway in the pick of Saturday's championship matches. West Bromwich Albion and Newcastle drew 1-1. The unrest continues at Newcastle with the fans angry that the club still hasn't appointed a new coach. The former England skipper Alan Shearer, who was briefly in charge at St James's Park at the end of last season, admits he would love to finish what he started, but says he can't do anything whilst the club is up for sale.
I know as much as everyone else, and I would dearly love it sorted out in one way or the other, so the football club, more importantly the football club, can move on and get ready for this tough campaign. But unfortunately, I've read and I've heard, yes, I've spoke to one or two consortiums over the summer, but for confidentiality reasons, those guys have signed, they can't be named, but it just needs to be sorted out one way or the other.
Carlos Tevez has made his debut for Manchester City after coming on as a second-half substitute in their pre-season friendly against Celtic. City won the match 2-1, and manager Mark Hughes was happy to give Tevez a good run out before the start of the season.
Yeah, I think it was important just for the guys, the fans, and Carlos himself, I mean, because he's been jumping at the bit. In fairness, it's just that he's been really frustrated because He hasn't been able to weigh bare on the heel for the vast majority of pre-season. It's only this week that he's been able to actually join the group. So I thought he looked really sharp when he came on, and you saw the reaction that he had from the crowd. So that was great for us, and he's going to do great things for us, because you see by his energy that he gives the team a trigger. He gives the team a focus for when we want to press and engage people. So he's going to be really important for us.
Elsewhere, Samuel Eto'o scored on his debut for Inter Milan, but couldn't prevent Lazio from winning the Italian Super Cup 2-1 at the Bird's Nest Stadium in Beijing. Now to Headingley, where after just 2 days of the fourth Ashes test, Australia's cricketers are close to levelling the series. Australia were bowled out for 445 just before tea on Saturday, giving them a massive first innings lead of 343. And any hopes of an England fight back were dashed after they were reduced to 82 for 5 at stumps. From Headingley, the BBC's Chris Florence reports.
After taking those opening 5 wickets inside 7 overs on a sunlit evening, there should be little now to hold up Australia's progress on the third day to complete a crushing victory. When England's openers, though, Andrew Strauss and Alistair Cook, compiled a half-century stand, there was just the outside chance that they could make an impression. But once again, Australia's attack, this time in the shape of Ben Hilfenhaus and Mitchell Johnson, showed them how to bowl, and again England's batsmen contributed to their own downfall. The pitch is only 2 days old and should be at its best, but with only the tail now to keep Matt Prior company, Australia should be enjoying a Sunday afternoon off. Hilfenhaus took the first 2 wickets, Johnson the last 3, adding to the success of Peter Siddle and Stuart Clark on the first day. England restart 82 for 5, that's still 261 behind.
Well, the Australian batsman Marcus North, who scored 110, says he can't believe just how well it's looking for his side going into the third day.
No, look, it's all gone pretty quick, hasn't it? You know, this test was built up to be, you know, probably the most important to date in this series. And we all felt that as a playing group. So we knew we had to play well in this one, and it's just so pleasing. The first 2 days have gone really well for us, and we've played some really disciplined cricket for those 2 days. But tomorrow we've got 5 wickets to go. The job isn't done, but, you know, I'm sure that Vicky will have a chat to us and make sure we apply ourselves like we have. If we do that, we should be able to create enough chances.
On to rugby union, and South Africa's impressive form in the Tri Nations series continues after a 29-17 win over Australia at Newlands. Our reporter Ken Borland was watching the action.
Australia can blame their ill discipline, particularly at the breakdowns, for their 29-17 defeat at the hands of the Springboks in Cape Town. Not only were 3 players sent to the cooler during the game, they also presented Morne Steyn with 7 penalties, and we know how well he can kick, so that was 21 points to South Africa. Steyn also succeeded with a drop goal, while the Springboks' only try went to lock Victor Matfield after captain John Smith had produced a precision grubber that was probably the highlight of the match. The Wallabies threw away a good start when fullback Adam Ashley Cooper scored after just 2 minutes, and the other highlight of the match coming from their fly half Matt Gittow, who scored a fine individual try as he chinked over late in the second half to close the gap to 26-17. But ultimately, the Springboks, with Steyn seizing just about every scoring opportunity, were just too good for the Wallabies.
Ken Borland reporting from Newlands. Before we go, a reminder of our top story. The captain of the Spanish side Espanyol, Dani Jarque, has died from a heart attack while on a pre-season training camp. He was just 26 years old. And that's the latest World Sports News from the BBC World Service here in London.